Sometimes in our lives, there are sort of jolting events that happen to us. Events that make us stop and take a look at our lives, or take a look at what we're doing, and maybe change our way of living. For example, a parent whose little child has gotten very sick, almost to the point of death. That could well cause that parent to stop and think, I need to spend more time with my children. I don't know how long they will be with me. Or it might be a spouse who says to their partner, I'm not going to tolerate your drinking anymore. Either you quit or you go. Not always, but at times, that makes the other person take a serious look at their lives. It could be an awareness that you're way too deep in debt, and you've got to change your spending habits. Those shocking events at times make us take a look at ourselves, what we're doing, where we're going, how we're living. In the gospel story today, it was a shocking event for that steward. He knew that he couldn't go on as he was. He was losing his work, his means of livelihood. But he was quick to come up with a solution. The story often shocks us because the response of Jesus is not the response that we would have thought. We would have thought he would have condemned the man's dishonesty. But instead, he praises his prudence. What is that all about? Jesus wasn't approving of the dishonest actions. But what he was saying is that the man was very worldly wise. He knew how to survive. And what he's wanting to teach us from that is that could we be that wise, that prudent in the things of God, in the things that matter to our salvation? That's what Jesus is wanting of us. To look prudently at what is most important in our lives, our relationship to God, that relationship that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And can we find ways, in the midst of all the distractions and all the turmoil that goes on in our lives, can we find ways to keep that focused as the center of our existence? We ought to be as prudent about the things of God as we are about the things of our material lives. Because the things of our material lives go away. They fall apart. It is that relationship with God that goes on forever. We need to be wise about that. And we need to take steps to constantly improve that relationship, to make it the center of our existence. What would it take for me? What would it take for you? What jolting event would make you or me determined to live our baptism more fully, to fulfill those commitments we have made to reject sin and Satan, and to live a life of faith in Jesus our Savior. What jolting event would it take for us to focus less on the material, the external parts of our lives, and focus more on that relationship with Christ Jesus? Jesus in the gospel talks about using dishonest wealth to gain friends that will last for us for all eternity. Let me read that line again. I tell you, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Somehow I want to connect that with the first reading from Amos. Because Amos in that first reading is condemning the wealthy and saying how they're taking their wealth and they're using it to gain more wealth at the cost of the poor, at the cost of the nobodies in their society. And Jesus is telling us to do the opposite, to take those material resources that we have, use them well. Use them in a way that they will help us on our journey to the kingdom. That would be by being generous, caring for the poor, watching out for the needy, going out of our way to help the disadvantaged and the oppressed. That is taking dishonest wealth and using it to make friends, so that when this life ends, we can gain life that never ends. Jesus is calling us not to be dishonest like the steward, but to use wisdom. Not just wisdom in the things of this earth, but wisdom concerning the things of God, the things of eternity, to use what we have been given to gain for us life everlasting.